Hello, dear ones, and welcome to my podcast, The Voice of Dharma, Cultivating Spiritual Wisdom. Wise ones have walked the earth since the dawn of time. They guided our way and taught us how to cultivate true wisdom and awaken to a reality of true freedom, love, compassion, clarity, and wholeness. This podcast is a sharing of this timeless spiritual wisdom. It's a blend of my own growing realization and awakening through many years of practice and study, and the continuation of all the wise ones, great practitioners, and great spiritual traditions that came before me and that I'm a continuation of. We are here to cultivate spiritual wisdom and to learn how to infuse every aspect of our life with it. This podcast is for everyone, regardless of age, color, creed, culture, or tradition. It's an open invitation to grow as a human being and as a soul. We will deepen our meditative capacity and spiritual intelligence, learn how to make use of this wisdom to address matters of daily life. We'll cultivate the most central insights pertaining to spiritual growth, and attempt to empower you to live a life filled with meaning, love, and wholeness, and to become a light unto yourself. In this spirit of love and true intention, let us dive right in. Hey there to all my beloved listeners. I'm very happy to record today's episode. We're going to talk about a very deep and central, we can call it realization, or a deep, you know, stage of ripening on the spiritual path that we need to really, really understand. And it's all about surrendering to the divine will, or God's will, or life's will. You name it what you will, but it's the divine will. So for those of you who are new here, first of all, welcome. This podcast is all about cultivation of spiritual wisdom. It's a free and open resource for learning what is spiritual growth and spiritual maturity, what is spiritual awakening, and what are the foundations that make it possible and applicable in our life. Together, with each and every episode, we'll develop a stronger inner knowing, a deeper meditation capacity, and also expand our spiritual insight and ground it in our being and life. Before we dive right in, I want you to know about my free services to the community and how you can make use of them. So I offer a 30-minute spiritual support for free, per person, once a month. This 30-minute meeting is aimed at providing spiritual clarity for anybody walking the spiritual path, anybody who wishes to receive clarity about burning life topics from a perspective of spiritual wisdom, and or people dealing with the difficulties of aging and old age and want spiritual support. So again, this is available once a month per person. Now, how to apply to this? Simply by contacting me through the contact form on my website and letting me know specifically what you'd like to apply to out of the two options. I will then provide you with all the rest of the information. You can find the link to my website in the podcast and episode descriptions. Okay, my friends. So now let us dive into this very, very profound and meaningful and in many, many ways, a very deciding moment on the spiritual path. The moment, it's not a moment in time, it's not like one instant, but it's a transition of sorts. I even like to look at it as a form of a tectonic shift, a very deep shift from a place of personal power, which is really the paradigm we're all living by as a collective, to a place of love, to a place of that my true center of being shifts from a place of personal will, right? Wanting to control the outcome of events, the outcome of life, to a place of thy will be done, where I surrender my will to the higher will or the will of the whole. Or again, for me, I love also to say God's will, the divine will. Now, a lot of our culture is based on the satisfaction of the individual will, on getting what we want from life, on becoming what we can call, quote unquote, the best version of ourselves. It's a very big thing, especially in the West, but not only. We pride ourselves on being individualistic, being different than the rest, being unique, being so niche and other, right? It's something we really pride ourselves for. So like being individuated has become almost like our God, you know. Individualism has become our new God, and without noticing, we've also isolated ourselves from something much more fundamental, much more nourishing, and in fact, that is something that's actually connected inherently to the law of reality, which is the divine, that which connects everything, that which holds everything together, that which actually directs the entire show. So we always try to find an edge to our expression, right? Something that others don't have. We put a lot of emphasis on that. And also, when something doesn't go our way, we feel frustrated. And in extreme cases, we even feel totally deflated and defeated, as if, you know, like, Life betrayed us. You know, we wanted something, we gave it our best, and life betrayed us. It like didn't allow us to receive what we wanted. Now, when life takes away something that we cherish, right, we feel as if it is against us. Right? I really want to, I don't know what, like be a bodybuilder, or I want to be a great dancer. And I want to be a musician or an artist or a scientist. It doesn't matter. And you know, things don't just go, don't flow my way. Like the necessary doors or connections don't open even though I try. And I feel like as if life deprived me of something. Life is unfair. So in other words, we are conditioned to feel that it's all, and believe also, that it's all about us. It's all about our individual will and wishes. It's all about me, my wishes, my desires, what I want from life. And anything that goes against that is perceived to be negative, a disturbance, a blockage, and as I said just a moment ago, a form of betrayal, right? If my body doesn't allow me, you know, to execute, let's say, the amount of physical activity I desire or dream of, I feel like my body has betrayed me, and so on and so forth. So, you know, we even attempt to, you know, it's kind of funny, but we even attempt to invent methods to attract exactly what we want out of life, right? All the secret and the law of attraction, and it's like we look at life like some kind of, you know, In fact, I'm going to say something pretty outrageous here, but like we treat life in the same way that we treat Earth's resources and forests and all that. We just want to take whatever we can out of it for our own benefit. And we kind of spiritualize it, quote unquote, to make it seem like more appealing or more justified, but the intention, the motivating force behind it is exactly the same. Namely, selfishness. Wanting to exert my will over life and have it fulfill what I want, my personal desires. But here's the catch. And again, this requires a lot of sensitivity, right, out of each and every one of us. And again, don't take my words for granted. This is really an inquiry. This requires a maturation, a willingness to look at your own experience with an investigative mind and an honest heart. even if you get all your desires fulfilled and you do the law of attraction and you get that desired home or partner or whatnot, look at your life and you're going to see that you are still as unhappy as you ever were. It didn't make you happier. It's exactly as just fulfilling a little desire. Like, you know, when you have like a good meal or you drink that, I don't know, tasty coffee or hot chocolate or that cake, you know, that piece of cake, it gives you that sense of momentary gratification, but nothing that really stays. And that's the same with fulfilling our personal desires, or what we can call dreams, and so on and so forth. Really check it for yourself in your own experience. So, you know, this calls for a deep introspection into the whole paradigm of fulfilling and living for my own personal will. Really, so I'll cut to the chase and say it as it really is. Fulfilling your personal will, fulfilling our personal will never make us fully fulfilled. Never. It'll never make us content. It'll never make us whole. In fact, it'll keep you separate and always feeling a sense of lack and a need for more. Just look at it, you know, you want to be a millionaire. You have that dream and you manage. You become a millionaire. You have $10 million. Do you feel it's enough? Usually not. Usually then you want $100 million. And then even that is not enough. Then you want $1 billion. And then it's not enough. You want $1 trillion. Really, just check it for yourselves. It's never enough. There's something inherent about the personal will that cannot rest. It always wants more. So the only true fulfillment is in surrendering our personal will to the greater will of the divine, the greater will of God. Let us dive deeper and deeper into that. Now, if we truly, you know, want happiness, because the thing is, you see, you might hear what I'm saying here and feel some kind of antagonistic resistance towards it. It's like, what is he telling me? Like, I cannot want things, or, you know, but what if life puts me in a situation that is really against what I want? Should I just accept it and so forth and so on? Let's not rush too quickly, okay? Let's not rush too quickly. And, you know, I'm not, of course, suggesting that you cannot want simple things. I'm just suggesting that your personal will is included within a greater will that has the bigger say here and the final say. And that's much more important. And in fact, if you truly want happiness, fulfillment, love, contentment, all the things that really matter, then you should ask yourselves, you know, what can truly bring it about? And how am I standing in the way? And if you go deep enough, you will see that by insisting, right? By insisting to get like what I want, by insisting to fulfill my will, I'm not actually getting happy. So I'm not condemning the personal will, because that will be just like playing moral games, you know. And I'm not. This is spirituality. It's not about morality, like good or bad. It's about looking at the workings of reality, having the clear eyes to see the laws of reality. Like, how does it really work? And if I realize, hey, wait a second, I'm going against the laws of reality, I'm swimming against stream, like opposite the stream, then I'm just creating more resistance, more unhappiness. Even if I call that living up to my dreams or desires, well, maybe that's not exactly the way to go. Maybe we've been misled or, again, educated in the wrong direction, and we need to, you know, do some course correction here. And that's a lot of what spirituality is about. We wake up from wrong conditioning. So does fulfilling my will truly make me happy? Let's leave it as an open question for each and every one of us to observe, to check. Check it for yourself. Now, again, I want us to take a deeper look at what I kind of opened up earlier, this kind of like, you know, the will of millionaires that they want to be even more millionaires and even richer and then richer. I mean, let's expand it. Let's look at, you know, the personal will of millionaires and then billionaires. Let's include in that, you know, famous figure that wanted fame, right? Fame seemed like to be the promising thing. That was like the personal will. Or you know, even successful YouTubers, right? It's like there's this kind of almost like a scene, right? Like a trend. It seems like, yeah, that's the real promise. It's like to exert as much personal will and succeed and make it, right? Successful coaches, successful businesswomen, businessmen. Now look at all these figures I just mentioned. And if you happen to be one of them, then, you know, look at yourself and answer this truly and honestly, because eventually it's your happiness is on the line. Are these people truly happy? And I really invite you to do a bit of a deeper investigation. And the truth is, no, they're not. People who become millionaires are not happier. Billionaires are not happier. Famous people are not happier. Successful YouTubers are not happy. In fact, there's often, you know, for successful YouTubers, it's almost like it's become like a thing that at one point there's going to be like that, you know, that kind of like revealing video when that successful YouTuber that always kind of like displays this image of success and like, you know, having kind of like, having made it, suddenly coming out with this video about how they're struggling with mental health and actually they're depressed a lot and then have a lot of anxiety and they struggle a lot. And it's very telling. So if we're honest, if we're looking at ourselves and you know, this intense will that drives us very often to believe that we need to have this or that or achieve this or achieve that, there's an incredible amount of stress actually behind it. And I'm not suggesting you shouldn't strive. Striving is natural for humans. It's natural for us. We want to expand, we want to grow, we want to explore, we want to evolve. I'm only suggesting that perhaps whether we have the results we wanted or not, is not where our happiness lies, because there's something bigger that moves the show. And so it's important that we look at the laws that govern reality. Reality has its own fundamental laws. And there is, and one of those laws is that being part of, you know, there's the law of simply being part of something bigger than myself. Whether you and I are aware of it or not, we are simply always we're always part of something bigger than ourselves. We are part of a bigger reality that animates us, makes us breathe, you know, moves the planets, and sustains our life. We do not do that. We're held by something much, much bigger that connects us all as one organism that moves and breathes because of the air and because of the trees and because of the movement of the sun and the stars and the planets and so on, right? And the spinning of this incredible spaceship we call planet Earth. I de facto don't live for myself, whether I'm aware of it or not. I am in fact an extension of a much bigger reality than myself. I am simply a body of a greater reality. I'm an expression of that. I'm a little child of a much greater reality. This reality dictates when I will be born, and it dictates when I will breathe my last and leave this body. So if I don't live according to reality's laws, I will simply be unhappy. And that's again where we're introducing the whole topic of surrendering to the will of the divine, the will of God, the will of reality. Right? It's like reality or the divine is the totality of what we are part of. And as I just said, we are an extension of it. We are, you know, we are the rays of that reality. We are not the center. We are the rays. We are the expressions of this reality. We are the expressions, the result of its will. And by realizing that and seeing also the beauty of belonging to something bigger than myself as the simple fact of things, then we can start to realize that, hey, wait a second. So maybe if I surrender my personal will and align it with the greater one, to the will of the total reality that runs the show, maybe then I can become happier. And in fact, not happier, but truly happy for the first time on the deepest levels of my being. On the deepest levels. It's not like that, you know, temporary, you know, quick gratification of eating a cake, but rather the long-term satisfaction that comes with aligning with the laws of reality. And to do that, we have to let go of stubbornness. We have to let go of resistance. In fact, it's a letting go of power. It's a letting go of power, of the wish to control what's going on. And there are layers and layers, you know, of resistance, you know, to reality, to the way things unfold, right? We have a certain image of how we want them to unfold. And when they don't happen exactly our way, there are layers and layers of resistance to that. Right, from wanting our spouse or partner to be in a certain way, to not letting go of how our parents misbehaved to us when we were kids, to not liking how the weather is today, and so on and so forth, right? There are so many layers to that. We think our country should be this way, but it's not. Politics should go in a certain way, but it doesn't. And our resistance, kind of like, you know, we project it onto life. And if we're really stubborn, you know, we can get stuck for a lifetime and live with a great sense of resistance that can also cause, by the way, a lot of psychological conditions, imbalances, and also physical, you know, illnesses. Now, every time we manage to let go of such a layer and surrender to the divine will, to God's will, we will feel a deeper sense of contentment and joy. And this process is not a process that we do by force. We do it by understanding. We grow into it. We look, you know, a child doesn't let go of their toys because you tell them, let go of your toys. And if you do that by force, then it's not going to be natural. It's going to cause some form of maybe trauma, or it's going to be some kind of interruption in the process. But if the child just grows up and sees, wait a second, this doesn't interest me anymore, I don't need that anymore, I've grown up, then it's aligned, it's natural. And this is the same here, only that here we're talking about the spiritual path, which is a conscious process. It doesn't happen automatically, like with kids growing up, from being, you know, 5-year-old to being 15. But this one, we have to actually consciously inquire into, consciously investigate, consciously discover the true deeper laws of reality and where we are kind of failing to align with them. Not as, again, not as any self-judgment, not as any kind of like moral condemnation, but just looking at things as they are. I want to be happy. I want to be free. I want to be whole, and I'm doing things that are working against that. So I want to understand what it is that I'm doing. And I'm discovering, hey, when I resist reality, when I try to impose my own personal will, and I'm extremely dissatisfied when it doesn't work my way, I am actually working against the simple law of reality, which is aligning with the will of God, the will of the divine, the greater reality, the greater whole. And therefore, I just I do what I do without expecting, you know, a specific result. Or even if I expect and it doesn't happen, I just say, okay, well, it didn't happen. And I realize I don't really need that. That reality, the greater reality, we can call it God, reality, divine, it supplies me with all that I really need. And that's interesting because, you know, the next point I wanted to say is that we really only believe that we need what we want. The truth is we don't. We don't really need to be a millionaire. We don't really need to be famous. We don't really need to be the best version of myself, whatever that even means. Or, you know, a successful YouTuber or well-known or have the perfect partner or the perfect house. We don't really need that. We only think we do. But that's not the truth. If you just let it go and realize that life works on its terms, not on our individual terms, you will realize, hey, everything's okay with me. Right? And we can know exactly what we truly need by what life provides us. We can give it our best shot. And if it doesn't succeed, we realize, hey, well, apparently life doesn't want that. And so we can let go and relax. Right? So it doesn't mean we cannot try, we cannot act. By all means, go ahead. Act, do, but remember, just don't be too insistent, you know, on getting a result. Do it happily and know that if life wants it to happen, if the divine, if God wants it to happen, it'll open the doors necessary. And if it doesn't, it won't. And so you're free either way. We believe we must fulfill our dreams. Very often life doesn't enable that, right? So if we accept God's will, the divine will, life's will, we will see that we are content even without a fulfilled dream. So we are sold that kind of image, fulfill your dreams. Well, it sells, you know, it sells because then people can sell us methods and say, hey, I will help you fulfill your dream. Just, you know, pay me for that. Right? It sells. It's a very good like marketing strategy. It creates a sense of lack and then a sense of, hey, but you can get there. Look, to the better place. You're not in the better place right now. There's a better place. And to get there, you have to buy this course, do this workshop, you know, learn this and that and pay this amount of money. And that's the whole thing, right? God doesn't ask you to pay money. God, the divine, the whole, knows what you, the part, needs, right? So living in alignment with the higher will, with the divine will, is contentment, is where we discover contentment. And surrendering to the divine will is a process, right? We need to mature into this let go. It is really a growth of heart where we realize that we can let go of the wish to have personal power over life. And I know that this might sound almost impossible to accept, and this is why I'm saying, don't rush it. If it's, you know, if you're not there, you're not there, but it's good to have this as a context on the spiritual path. Because there are stages where you have to develop your personal will to solidify it, to crystallize it. But there also comes a point where it's time to let it go. Where you realize that personal power doesn't even fulfill your deepest being. And you don't need that. You don't need to prove anything to anybody, especially not to yourself. You're okay. It's very humbling. It's a beautiful place to be in. And you realize there is something more precious, and that's surrendering to love, to the greater will. And the greater will is love. It's not forceful. It's not power. It doesn't have like a personal wish to impose something. It works in harmony with the entire reality. And we come to a place where we realize, you know, I don't know. I don't know what should be. I don't know how this life should unfold, but the divine, but God, but life knows. So beloved God, beloved life, please guide me. Please move me. Show me the way. You are the master. I'm your Ray. I'm your child. You're my father. You're my mother. It's not a defeat at all. It comes out of love and wisdom. Love and wisdom enable this form of surrender. It's a maturation. And in that maturation, we realize a much deeper level of fulfillment. So when we say surrender to God's will, the divine will, we're not in any way talking about a sacrifice as we might imagine it. We're talking about maturation into a happier, much more fulfilled and empowered reality. But this time empowered as a unity, as a united whole and not as a separate being. And that makes all the difference, my friends. So I hope that this episode really expanded your view and your understanding of what, first of all, the will of God and the divine really means. And then how aligning with it is, in fact, a much happier state than insisting on your own private will. And as always, I hope that this episode, along with the others, keeps strengthening your ground of spiritual insight and spiritual wisdom. And remember that you can make use of my free community services mentioned in the beginning of the episode. You can contact me directly for more information. Okay, my friends, so keep practicing, keep meditating, keep growing, and as always, I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you, dear friend, for listening along. I hope that this episode inspired you and helped cultivate the seed of true wisdom within you. Such cultivation is the most precious investment you'll ever make in your life. So keep listening and keep growing. If you feel touched and empowered by this podcast, kindly consider sharing it with other friends, family members, and people so they too can benefit from such precious knowledge. Thank you again for being here with me, and may you always keep growing.